TV.
Well, John Irish was actually right yesterday. He was actually one of the people who is tinily suggested that, reminding me that it was Timothy's progress that was to be apparent and not Timothy. And I think I properly corrected that. But then yesterday he really nailed me with a great point, and I must confess to it. I didn't realize how badly I was doing it. But, you know, Paul says in Romans 14, you should not use your freedoms in Christ to, like, taunt other people or to shame other people, to make other, not just other people, but other members of the body of Christ. You shouldn't dangle, like, if I'm free to drink, I'm going to drink on the show. Okay, but I'm cutting it out pretty much. But, okay, if I want to drink for my voice or whatever reason to relax, but I'm not going to put it in front of those who think that drinking is a sin and basically try to make them feel bad. This is what Paul is saying. Don't use your freedom to cause others to stumble. It's not that you shouldn't use your freedom. You should use your freedom. Just don't throw it in somebody's face. Well, that's what I did yesterday, and I apologize for it because I explained how I have this tremendous freedom to use the personal pronoun I. I've been completely delivered from any sort of remnant of the old humanity which would send up a warning sign against using the personal pronoun for fear it would stir up a cauldron of pride and unseat Christ, all these worries that religious people tend to have about themselves. They have to put this forced humility on themselves because they think they're constantly in danger of overriding Christ in their lives. And those of us who are aware of the new humanity, that the old humanity was crucified, we know that this is a baseless fear, it's a waste of energy, and that we are free to be ourselves. That's the message I really wanted to give everybody. I'm not going to change the topic. I'm going to explain my apology. But the message I wanted to give everybody was to be yourself and to not hide yourself under some false sheen or pretense of humility because you think that using the personal pronoun I is somehow an atrocity, an affront to God. But it's not. I talked about myself yesterday, but once again, I was purposely tweaking people. I put images in the background from my various videos just to irritate. That was wrong to do that. I mean, I'm not saying that I won't in the future, because of course I will, just my basic personality, say bombastic things. Things that are bombastic, but probably at the same time true. I'm not saying I won't do that. I'm just saying I'm not going to do it to purposely troll people. That's what I was doing. I was trolling people. I don't think I gave myself any slack. I mean, I don't really believe I do it. In fact, I know I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I like it. I like the freedom I have in Christ. I like the freedom I have in Christ to drink. I like the freedom in Christ I have to cuss when I need to. I like the freedom I have in Christ to think lofty thoughts, to write lofty books, just to put my face on the cover. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I'm going to continue to do it. But I will not do it again to purposely piss anyone off. And that's I actually announced yesterday that I did it to piss people off. And that was wrong. John was right to call me out on that. Because Paul speaks against that. Don't cause somebody to stumble. So maybe I made people feel bad yesterday. Now, I'm all for pushing people's faith ahead, trying to push people's faith ahead gently. But I was not gentle yesterday. I shoved it in people's face, people who would be offended by it. At least I announced that that's what I had done in the past. I didn't really, and then I went ahead and did it yesterday by the background that was under. You remember seeing the background yesterday? I thought it was a great background. I worked hard on it. I actually had to, I went in, highlighted different videos and built that little 16x9 frame in InDesign and then transported it into Wondershare for more of my video editing program. I worked hard to make people feel bad yesterday. So, my apologies, and John called me out on it, rightly so. Today is a medical update. I'm going to continue on this theme of being yourself. You are a unique cocktail. And this is what I enjoy about what God has made me. And you ought not hide yourself. Don't be afraid of yourself. For now, a medical update. And I'm not going to like hold you in suspense. It's good news. Okay? I'm not going to like creep up on the news. So you're wondering for 10 minutes, what's he going to tell us? No, it is good news. The outside and the inside. Okay, we know, I'm going to show you some more photos because there's a photo since then, since the last one I showed you of my outer squamous cell carcinoma, abbreviated SCC, basically skin cancer. But this is a serious skin cancer, as you will see from the photos. If you remember, I showed you photos before. I'm going to show them to you again because I want you to see the healing that has taken place. And I don't know. I'm doing traditional and non-traditional medicine here. I am doing immunotherapy. And if that's doing the job, great. But I'm also doing ivermectin, fenbendazole, membendazole, methylene blue, all things that have been proven in trials and many hundreds of people's personal experience to fight all kinds of cancers, but specifically, especially in the case of methylene blue, to fight squamous cell carcinoma. I didn't realize that this crap could be deadly. So let me show you a photo from June 27th, this is Kelly's favorite horrible photo. Here's June 27th. This is what my neck looked like, the front of my neck. That is, you are looking at squamous cell carcinoma that was literally eating my neck. And if left alone, would have eaten everything. My trachea, my vocal cords, my carotid artery, and I would be dead. Here is June 11th. It's a more close-up view. It's gross. There's so many things going on here. It looks like a zombie photo. There's also some infection on top of it. So I was fighting an infection on top of it. I'm making shows all through this, and I'm running with this crap. I am running with this, and I'm making shows with this. And was it painful? Well, look at it. What do you think? Yes, it was painful. And here's probably the worst of it. Here's July the 20th. And this is a wider angle shot. And you can see and what I was dealing with. And I think it was around this time, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just keep this on for a couple more seconds. And then I'll take it off. Okay. I'm going to bring it back for contrast purposes in a moment, but it was around that time where I was admitted to Boca Raton Hospital, and the oncologist doctors were looking at me, and I was at that time telling the doctors that I was not interested in mainstream therapies because I didn't believe in them. not sure I do yet, but I'm willing to concede that this immunology has done me some good because, well, it pretty much destroyed my thyroid. I have to have thyroid medication because the side effect of the immunology treatment is that, I hate talking about this stuff, but you deserve a medical update. Like Paul said in his letter, I want you to know of my affairs. Instead of sending somebody to tell you about it like Paul sent, take a kiss, I am doing it myself. Immunotherapy, one of the side effects is it supercharges your immune system to go after the cancer, and then it also, you know, when it has nothing else to do, it goes after your other organs, so you have to keep an eye on it. And so I guess it's common for it to go after your thyroid, so it pretty much wiped out my thyroid, and so I have to take medication for that. You know how mainstream medicine is? When their drugs don't work, or when their drugs do damage, they give you other drugs to fix what their first drug did to you. And of course, surgery is the same way. When their surgery fails, they do another surgery. And then when that surgery fails, they will operate on the operation that is attempting to fix the initial operation. It's a vicious circle. And as you know, I have had surgery scheduled for this month, which is September 17th. I have had surgery scheduled. I will tell you now that as of yesterday, I have canceled that surgery because it was radical major surgery, not fun and games surgery. I will explain that in a moment. But let's go back to the Boca Raton Hospital. I was talking about my distrust of mainstream remedies for cancer because of the side effects, the dubious effectiveness of many of them, and but basically the side effects. And the mainstream medical world, again, as I told you, only has three solutions for cancer. Only three. They don't know of any other remedies. There's, of course, chemo, radiation, and immunotherapy. I should add a fourth, surgery. Surgery, chemo, and I have refused chemo, and I continue to refuse chemo. Immunotherapy is a milder form. It's not as destructive, and it's been working on me. That's what they say. And, of course, I'm going to show you some photos coming up that are going to amaze you, okay? Get ready. That's going to be great. It's going to be great. Where do you see this? Wait until you see this. But the photo you just saw, let's put it back on the screen for a second. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There's that. Okay. They had a meeting about me at the Boca Raton Hospital, and they sent a real pain in the ass doctor, a real animal, a beast. They sent a beast into my room to tell me, if you do not do surgery, chemo, radiation, and immunotherapy, I have to do everything. If you do not do everything, you will die. Because this is going to eat you alive. It's going to eat your neck. Then it's going to eat your face. It's going to eat your body. He said that. I'm not making any of this up. And you will die. That's what he said. Did I like hearing that? No, I did not. Was that a good morning for me? No, it was not. When my wife came in later after breakfast, did she like hearing it? No, she did not. I told that doctor, I don't even want to see you again because your bedside manner is terrible. It's terrible the way you told me. And something's wrong with you. Thanks for the info, but leave my room and I don't want to see you again. That's what I told him. You don't talk to people that way. It's not what I would call a positive bedside manner. But it was the institution's frustration at your friend here, Martin Zender, for calling into question their procedures. And I should have, the better part of wisdom would have been to just shut up or just agreed with them and then later decline. I've been informed since then that that's what you should have done, Zender. And they're right, of course. I was impetuous. And that was a bad move because it turned them against me, but they were concerned for me. And this guy came in, and I can just hear the meeting. I mean, I wasn't at the meeting, of course, but I can just hear it. Who shall we send in to this numbnuts? Who shall we send in to convince him that his life is in danger unless he does what we tell him? And this bulldog, this anteater of a man, this warthog, this badger came in. I'll raise his hand at the meeting. I'll do it. Send me. You're elected. He came in and he laid it on me. And what he said concerning the thing that would eat me alive was right. What he said was right. That shit was on a mission. Mission from God, mission from Satan, whether you want to take the absolute or the relative, whatever. And I lived with that. And at that time, if someone had offered surgery to me that day, I would have taken it. That day, I was so tired of it. I was carrying that around was horrific, as you can well imagine. And yet, like I said, I made a show every day. I put it out of my mind, covered it up with a bandage. And I don't know what I started first. I don't know if I did started the I really started hammering the ivermectin at the same time that the immunotherapy started. So it could be one or the other. I don't even care. I have my suspicions, but I'm going to do both. Okay, I am doing both. For the record, I am doing both. And at that time, also, a radiology oncologist, a woman at Cleveland Clinic in Weston, looked at it, and it's the states you just saw it in, looked at it and said, you know that's not going to close on its own. And I said, yeah, of course I know that, because somebody else had told me that. That's not going to close on its own. You're going to need reconstruction surgery just for that. Yeah, okay, I know. And the doctor with whom I had scheduled the surgery, who's supposed to be one of the best surgeons in the United States, people come from all over the world. He has great reviews, but he also has some bad reviews. His name's Dr. Leibowitz, and he is at University of Miami. And that was going to be my surgeon. And Leibowitz looked at that. He looked at it, and he goes, you have a very serious problem there. I said, yes, sir, I know. Thank you. Well, let me show you something. The last photo I showed you was July 20th. Let's look at July 11th, because that's my favorite. Here's July 11th. Now let me show you August 14th. Look at the difference. And you saw this. I showed you this. Look at the difference between July 11th and August 14th. Just under a month. And now I want to show you September the 2nd. Look at this. This was taken by the wound nurse that comes to the apartment here on September 2nd. My goodness. They said it wouldn't happen. This was with no surgery. Look what God has done. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking at is a disappearance. An eradication of squamous cell carcinoma without surgery. But the other problem was I also had, and I hate this word tumor, but I had a tumor inside. And I had that at the same time as this. In fact, I still have it, but it is not what it was because there's other good news concerning a CT scan. So it's this, at the same time this miracle is taking place that no one expected. At the same time this is taking place, I have a tumor right behind it inside that was also growing. I mean, you can see that. Let's go back to the wide-angle view of July 20th, shall we? You can see it bulging off the right side of my face, my right. It's horrible, right? Everything's terrible. Everything's life-threatening. This is what you're looking at is life-threatening. I was starting to come to grips with, you know, and I was ready again for surgery. But then, I responded miraculously well probably could be. I'm willing to admit it, to the immunotherapy and also to the bombardment of ivermectin, phenbendazole, metbendazole, and methylene blue, and curcumin. I mean, like high octane curcumin, atomic curcumin. But you see, the problem with this surgery was it was to be radical. I mean radical. Like they were going to take a giant, just cut everything. All this beautiful healing, they're going to tear it up. And we're going to cut everything out. I had that done back a year ago, June 2025. And I still have nerve pain. Hasn't gone away. A year, still have no feeling. And here, I still have nerve pain. I live with it, you know, whatever. Can't feel my ear, whatever. Can't feel my shoulder, my back. I've still got they reconstructed my inner cheek here. Fun stuff that God dictated for my life. God wanted me to go through this, of course. I'd been through all the emotional pain I could handle. Now God wanted me to go through some physical pain before the snatching away. Oh, I'm going to do a video upcoming on the snatching away. You're going to love it. I'm going to stop talking about this soon. This is a medical update. All right, so the surgery was, I was scared of it. And well, I should be because I'm worried about nerve damage. You remember I freaked out when my mouth was like this? My mouth was like this for about 3 weeks. And I freaked out and I cried to my wife and I'm never going to be the same. And I was having drool problems and all kinds of mouth problems. Well, that was a really frightening possibility with this upcoming surgery. Really, even worse, nerve damage. That's what I was worried about. I told the doctor, I don't want the top of my lip stuck to the bottom of my nose for the rest of my life. So, well, you know, that shouldn't happen. You know what they say? Well, it shouldn't happen. They can't guarantee anything. And then one of the fellow workers, I should say, one of the other doctors in the Leibowitz group said, well, we can always fix it. There we go again. They don't tell you, oh, don't worry, that won't happen. No, they don't tell you that. They said, well, if it happens, we can fix it. So there you go. So there's so many risks. And then they were going to take a piece of my leg. They were going to take skin off my leg, graft it. I had to have a skin graft. All they said was, hey, well, you're going to have to just take some skin off your leg and put it on your neck. Okay. They never made a big deal of it. Well, I've talked to people since then, members of the body of Christ who have had this graft. And the news was, like, one person said, after a year, they took a piece of skin from my thigh. It was a year before I could even go up the stairs comfortably. So this surgery was going to be decimating. It was just going to be something that would be like 5 weeks recovery time just to like feel, I don't know, just be out of the danger zone because they have to check. And it's not like they pose it as a cure. This doctor, I nicknamed him Messi because he looked like Lionel Messi, the famous soccer player, but he was also had the same disposition. Like he was an all or nothing guy. This guy wanted to operate. And this is what bothered me. Oh, I had a CT scan also. After these good pictures came out, I had a CT scan. Guess what it showed? God, why? How could I not have told you this until now? My God. Yeah, the CT scan showed the tumor in my neck had shrunk considerably. Considerable, like, I don't know what word they use. It's just, like, almost not there. It went from 3.1 inches to not measurable. It was just, like, practically disappeared. And I could tell. Because every time I would swallow, it would hurt. Remember? Many shows I made. I'd swallow like this. Many shows. Because this thing was freaking big inside of me. And I couldn't yawn without pain. I had to swallow my yawns because opening my mouth hurt. But suddenly, at the same time the outward was healing, the inward was healing at the same time. And I asked a nurse, I said, okay, this is squamous cell carcinoma on the outside. Yes, that's what it is. Yes. Well, it's the same shit inside, right? It's squamous cell carcinoma, right? Okay, so this is just separated by a thin wall of dermis, epidermis, right? Right? So I said, if it's healing on the outside, it should be healing commensurately on the inside, correct? Correct, sir. So that's good. Yes, that is very good. So I'm starting to think, I don't want this surgery. I don't want this surgery. And so in the last 5 days, I've been freaking out about the surgery because it was still on the schedule. I was still going to do it. I was still going to do it. Because I went to the associate of Leibowitz, and he made it sound like a different surgery. Leibowitz was like a football coach on the blackboard. Like, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, 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 this. And he's like into it. He wants to score the winning goal. He wants to take it down. He wants to be the hero. What about me, Dr. Leibowitz? I'm incidental. This guy was a competitor. He wants to take it down. But his partner, when I talked to him, he made it sound like a different surgery. Yeah, it's going to take, it's just soft tissue. It's going to remove some soft tissue. What about this graft? Yeah, it's going to take some skin off your leg and put it on your neck. Yeah, okay. I went out of there that day, and Maria was with me, and I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to have this surgery September 17th. So I'm starting to dread this day, dreading. The days are, I'm just reveling in the fact that there's 2 weeks separating me from this god-awful day where I'm going to be destroyed. In the meantime, like, my body's talking to me. I had an experience, ladies and gentlemen. I won't call it a spiritual. Yes, I will. I will call it a spiritual experience. And this is what it was. It's like my body was telling me, if anything I say is helping anybody out there with any kind of issue, I'm thankful for it. So my body was telling me, I'm healing. Look at what's happening. Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing the same thing inside as I'm doing outside. This is what God made me do. And the things you're giving me at home, the things you're giving me, the natural thing, still doing the mushroom tea, still doing all the other stuff I was doing with Sasha, the pomegranate stuff, the grapeseed extract, the bicalin, all the different mushrooms used in that special tea that Maria makes for me. I was doing all that still. And I added to it the ivermectin and the fenbendazole, just adding everything, doing everything I possibly can. And my body says, you're helping me. This is helping me. I said, what about the immunotherapy, body? Is that helping you? Body said, I'm not going to comment on that right now. Okay, fine enough. Good enough. But my body saying, what are you going to do to me now? Like, I'm helping you. Let me go. It's working. Why would you stop now? You know what Leibowitz said? I said, since this is working, why don't we just keep, since the immunotherapy is working, let's assume it is, okay, it's working, it's doing what it's supposed to do. Why don't we let it go and see what more it can do? Well, we have no, I swear to you, this is what he said, we have no data. We have no data to show what happens after three treatments. I had three treatments. We have no data, 3 weeks in between. An infusion, you go in, you get this, put an IV in, and shoot you up for 30 minutes. We have no data. We have no data that people are actually cured by this stuff. Why don't you have data? Well, he didn't say outright, but I learned it in another conversation. They don't have data because their policy, written in stone like the Ten Commandments, is 3 immunotherapy sessions and cut. 3 and cut. That's their policy. It's written in stone. 3 and cut. 3 and cut. No kidding, you don't have data after 3. Because you cut after 3. That's what you do. You just don't. They follow these rules by rote, just like the Catholic Church. Oh, do you know what his associate told me? Dr. Mudad, that was his name. Do you know what his associate told me? With Maria in the room. We were getting ready to leave. That's the guy that told me, just soft tissue. Don't worry about it, kid. Do you know what he said at the end? He said, oh, don't Google anything and don't AI anything. And I accepted that at first. I just walked, oh, okay, yeah, sure. But the next day, that really bothered me. I was like the Catholic Church telling you, oh, by the way, don't read the Bible on your own. Don't do any research. Don't go to martinshenry.com. Just listen to what I tell you and just have a one-track mind. You get your information from us, and that's it. Do you understand, child? Yes, I understand. I thought it really, really bothered me. Really bothered me after that. That's when I started questioning the surgery. And then my body started coming after me, pleading, stop. Why are you destroying? Why were you destroying everything we're working for here? And so the doctor, I had two doctors. The messy guy wants to score the winning goal. And I had the beautiful doctor at Cleveland Clinic who came in while Maria was in Peru. He came in during my infusion and he said, I don't want you to do this surgery. He was against it. It's too much. And this stuff's working. Why would you do it? Anyway, this doctor, we ended up going to him yesterday, and he confirmed, again and again, he confirmed, this stuff's working. We're going to give it more chance to work. Your body's with you. Why would you blow up, why would you drop a bomb on the city of Fort Lauderdale when you have a faulty parking meter? Let's fix the parking meter and not drop an atomic bomb on the city. The doctor from Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Malott, he's the one who didn't want to do surgery. He's the one who recommended against it. When Maria was in Lima and I was with Greg and Terry, we were in the infusion room and Malott came in. Remember, Dr. Leibowitz, the surgeon, the guy that really wants to cut, the guy that wants to score the winning goal, he's at University of Miami. The second opinion guy, he's the original guy, Dr. Malott. He's an oncologist, doctor, just like Messi is, only he's not a surgeon. But he comes into the infusion room and he says, I don't like the surgery. You don't need this because it's not going to help you with what you have. What we're doing is working. It's working. Why would you know, it's going to be a rough surgery. It's a hard surgery. It's a terrible recovery. So I'm thinking, oh man, well, I appreciate you telling me this, right? But Maria wasn't there at the time. She was in Lima. So we go back to him again. We go back to this guy just yesterday. We go back to him just yesterday, and he had not seen the photos. And I showed him the photos. I said, "You got to see these photos." And he had seen it at its worst, but he didn't see the healing. And he was, I showed some comparative photos to Leibowitz, to Messi, and he was not impressed. So this guy wanted to operate. And he saw the results of the CT scan, that I shrunk. Significant reduction, that's the words they use, significant reduction in this tumor. Going away. And the weird thing is that Messi was not impressed. And he had his protocol all listed on the page that I go to find out what they're doing. He has this whole protocol listed. And after I told him that, after I showed him a comparative photo of the outside wound, and after he saw the CT scan, his procedure did not change one bit. You would think that with the good news, that we would alter something, change something. Hey, guess what, Martin? We don't need so radical a surgery now. No. Full steam ahead. This guy, full steam ahead. Leibowitz, full steam ahead. But yesterday, when we went to see the Cleveland Clinic doctor, Dr. Malott, I said, you want to see some remarkable photos? He goes, yes. I showed him the photos. He says, wow. He was the only one who was impressed. He was the only doctor who was impressed. Like, it's really impressive, is it not? There's the beginning. There's the end. Within less than a couple months, or a couple months, whatever. And he says, that's remarkable. Can I take a picture of these? He was the only doctor who was impressed. I talked to maybe four doctors altogether. None of them were interested in what was happening outside, because what was happening inside was a reflection of what was happening. What was happening outside, yes, was a reflection of what was happening inside. And he looked at it, and he was wowed, as he should have been, as they all should have been, but they weren't. Because in the case of Leibowitz, it was one track mind, he had one plan, and damn it, he was going to stick to it. What about me, Dr. Leibowitz? Collateral damage, kid, collateral damage. I canceled the surgery, thank God, and on July 17th of this month, I'm going to run up and down the steps here at the apartment 6 or 7 times and rejoice that my leg doesn't hurt.